Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with, the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent
members. On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Reverend Kevin McDonough, our Senate chaplain, and then remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mr. President, Senators, the recent attention to questions of public health has caused me, anyway, gratitude for the wonderful people who serve in many various ways to watch over the health of our children and all of us. Let's take a quiet moment and remember the good people who serve us, our own family, physicians and dentists and others, and particularly those who work in public health. Let's ask blessings on their work. We thank you, gracious God, that we live in a state with clean water and decent sewage systems and inoculations for our children and good emergency care and so many other blessings of public health. Bless all those who do that work. Keep them strong and focused in their tasks. The same for all of us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We'll see you later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson M, Olson G, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogemiller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, and Wieger.
All right. Quorum is present. Next order of business, executive and official communications. They're printed on today's agenda. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file 550, a bill for an act relating to energy, providing for energy conservation. Senate file 550 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Pretner Solon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate file number 550 and that a conference committee of five members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
So, okay, Senator Pretner, what is this bill again?
Mr. President, this is the energy policy bill.
Okay. On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Opposed, motion prevail.
And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the House has exceeded the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of five members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file 657, a bill for an act relating to energy, providing direction for the use of federal stimulus money for energy programs. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Representatives Kalin, Hilty, Saylor, Biernert, and McNamara. Senate file 657 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
The next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Pogemiller, reports of committees.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted with the exception of the report pursuant to Joint Rule 2.03, Senate File 1542, and the report pertaining to appointments.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President,
Senator Pogabiller.
I move to table the report pertaining to appointments.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next order of business is a second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. The next order of business is second reading of House bills. There are four printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of House bills. The next order of business is introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There are about four on Senate bill introductions today. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Under motions, there's one to be read at the desk.
Senator Cohen moves that his name be stricken as chief author, shown as a co-author, and the name of Senator Tomasoni be added as chief author to Senate File 2060.
On that motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller, did you want to do the calendar at this time? Okay.
Mr. President, I'd move the Senate take up the Senate calendar.
Okay, we're going to go to the calendar. There will be 18 roll call votes here. I would suggest you stay seated and get through these and we're probably not going to wait around.
First, Mr. President, did you vote on that we're going to take up the calendar? I don't think we voted on that.
On the motion to take up the calendar, I guess we did not. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Then, Mr. President, we probably, since there's going to be 18 votes, I move that I'd like to impose a call of the Senate.
Okay, Senate's under call. There, Mike.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move those further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The first bill on the calendar, Senate File 1447. This is a Senator Lori bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1447, a bill for an act relating to human services, making changes to licensing provisions, including data practices, disqualifications, and background study requirements.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary, well, close the roll. We had 61 ayes, one nay. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The second bill on the calendar is Senate File 97. This is a We'll skip over that for the time being. The third bill on the calendar, Senate File 1302, Senator Phoebe bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1302, a bill for an act relating to real property, modifying provisions governing eviction of tenants and property subject to mortgage foreclosure or termination of contract for deed.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. It's settled, agreed to. The fourth bill on the calendar, Senate File 492, this is Senator Scogin bill. The secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 492, a bill for an act relating to transportation, regulating the use and operation of mini trucks on public roadways.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary, close the roll. There being 62 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The fifth bill on the calendar, Senate File 431. This is a Senator Betzel bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 431, a bill for an act relating to mental illness, prohibiting participation in clinical drug trials.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. Leo. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Sixth bill on the calendar, Senate File 1887. This is a Senator Marty bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1887, a bill for an act relating to civil law, releasing information to health care agents.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. To be in 63 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Without objection, we'll go back to number 2 on the calendar. This is Senate File 97. This is a Senator Murphy bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 97, a bill for an act relating to health, providing for the medical use of marijuana.
Secretary will take the roll. Before... We've done third reading. Do you have a discussion?
Yes, I would like to, Mr. Chair. This is third reading, correct?
I think we gave it its third reading. Then we were going to take a vote, and before the vote, I was going to recognize you. So if you still want to talk on the bill, we could, without objection, we'll have... Secretary, cancel the roll, and then we'll allow Mr. Ingebrigtsen to make a few remarks. Okay, let's do that. Okay, we gave it its third reading. Now, Before the vote, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I apologize. We were kind of zipping around there back and forth, and I seen it was number two on the list there, and I would have been up a little quicker. But members, we spent a good two and a half hours talking about this the other day, and I don't expect that a whole lot of minds are going to be changed with regards to the bill at hand here. What I've come to learn after doing a lot of research over the weekend, what I think is just basically a lot of smoke cover for legalizing or starting down that path of legalizing drugs. Frankly, I just this idea of anybody that would suggest anybody in this body not being concerned enough and concerned about those that are suffering, and I think that's just a cover as far as I'm concerned. And I would really wish to consider your vote again. Before making this vote, again, I'm going to just briefly mention that we're talking about a very small microcosm of folks that we're going to be affecting here that already have the ability to utilize what's been approved by the FDA. And every year there's more drugs approved every year to deal with pain and suffering. And when you put that weight to what's very obvious and what I can tell you from experience is going to happen, is going to be a law enforcement nightmare. Our kids are going to suffer because of this, and it just goes beyond my thought process about all the time and effort that we all spend in this body talking about saving kids and doing things for kids, and how we can just absolutely look the other way when this gateway drug we're talking about here is going to be legalized in Minnesota. And I think that you should reconsider. Because I'm here to tell you folks that your law enforcement personnel and your school officials and parents are going to be doing a lot more suffering than the very few that we're trying to target here, at least that what's being tried to be targeted here. So I would ask you to reconsider your vote and vote no on this bill.
Secretary will take the roll on final passage of Senate File 97. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 35 ayes, 29 nays, the bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The seventh bill on the calendar is Senate File 538. The author is Senator Latz. The secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 538, a bill for an act relating to public safety addressing the consideration of a job applicant's criminal history during the public employment hiring process.
Secretary will take the roll. Jeff? Oh, you're still looking at it. Okay. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 48 ayes, 49 ayes, 13 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Number 8 on the calendar is Senate File 574, Senator Dahl bill. The secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 574, a bill for an act relating to utilities authorizing Public Utilities Commission to order refunds of unlawful utility rate revenues.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The ninth bill on the calendar is Senate File 1494. The author is Senator Metzen. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1494, a bill for an act relating to examinations prohibiting certain practices in preparation for a licensing or certifying examination.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. Being 63 ayes, 1 nay, the bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The 10th bill on the calendar, Senate File 1476. This is Senator Bach is the chief author. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1476, a bill for an act relating to labor and employment, modifying workers' compensation provisions.
Secretary, would you give a third reading, Mike? We'll take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes, 1 nay, the bill is passed. It's still agreed to. The 11th bill on the calendar is Senate File 863. This is a Senator M. Olson bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 863, a bill for an act relating to data practices, classifying government data, etc.
Secretary will take the roll on final passage. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 51 ayes, 12 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The next bill on the calendar, 12 on the calendar, is Senate File 341, Senator Prettner Solon bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Mr. President.
Senate.
Excuse me, before that, Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I just want to call your attention to, we had some debate on this bill last week. This is a bill that some of us believe is a very far-reaching change in law that would define domestic partners, and we think offer an expansion of, or a change in the definition of marriage in the state of Minnesota. And so we would urge a red vote. We already have statutes that define what marriage is, and this should not be passed to bring a conflict to that definition. So urge a red vote.
Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 341, a bill for an act relating to health, modifying provisions for disposition of a deceased person, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 41 ayes, 24 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The next bill on the calendar is number 13 on the calendar, the Senate File 1611, the Senator Sparks bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1611, Bill for an Act relating to insurance, authorizing the nonprofit insurance trust to self-insure against certain liabilities.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. Every 63 ayes, 1 nay. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Number 14 on the calendar is Senate File 910. This chief author is Senator Thomas Soni. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 910, a bill for an act relating to employment, regulating the employment status of certain truckers for the purpose of unemployment compensation and workers' compensation.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes, 1 nay, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The next bill on the calendar is number 15 on the calendar, which is Senate File 1469. The chief author is Senator Marty. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1469, a bill for an act relating to health, prohibiting an individual health plan from refusing to issue coverage because of a previous cesarean delivery.
Secretary will take the roll. Final passage. Jeff? All senators having voted, desire to vote, Secretary close the roll. There being 60 ayes, 5 nays, the bill is passed. Title agreed to. The next bill on the calendar is number 16 on the calendar. It's Senate File 1479, the author, chief author, Senator Dahl. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1479, a bill for an act relating to health, making technical changes to electronic prescription drug program, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. It's 65 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The 17th bill on the calendar is Senate File 1435. The chief author is Senator Laurie. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Sorry, Glenn. Bob. Senate File 1435, a bill for an act relating to health occupations, changing provisions on licensure of nutritionists, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes, 2 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The last bill on the calendar is number 18 on the calendar, Senate File 908. This chief author is Senator Pretner Solon. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 908. Bill for an act relating to public safety, modifying requirements of eligibility based on military experience for reciprocity examination for a peace officer.
Secretary will take the roll on the final passage. There we go. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes, 3 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, the plan today is to take up 2 conference committees, but they're both House files, and so we have to wait for the House to process them. That's the transportation bill and the environment and energy bill, funding bills. And we will not get those back from the House, certainly not till this evening. The House can't even take up the environment bill until 7 o'clock tonight. So When we get a better feel for when the House is going to process those bills, we'll set an exact time for tonight. But I would guess certainly not before 6 o'clock. So conference committees can meet certainly until 6 o'clock. I am going to ask Senator Senjum if it would be possible. We have an addendum coming sometime today. Is it here? Hopefully we'll get that addendum here. And there's a couple bills that came out of Rules Committee and Finance Committee that if the House floor could process them on general orders, that would give us a position for the conference committees. I don't know that any of them are very controversial, but and we can either take those up also this evening or not. So, but I'll check with Senator Senjum on that. The majority caucus is going to briefly caucus in the retiring room as soon as we recess now. But I would think not before 6 o'clock tonight. But we will meet this evening on those 2 major conference committees.
The addendum will be ready in about 20 minutes, so... Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, and maybe I'll just look for a nod from our sergeant. Would 112 be open? Beg your pardon? Senate Republicans, maybe again, just briefly in room 107. Briefly in 107.
And Mr. President,
Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Senjum, apparently the Economic Development Conference Committee has also been signed. That is a Senate file. So if your caucus was willing, we could take that up this evening also. I don't know when it's going to be posted. I don't know if it's been posted yet. You know, we have that 12-hour rule. So it would take your willingness to take up the economic development bill also this evening. So think about that and see what you think on that, those conference committees. So with that, Mr. President, I would move to recess to the call of the chair and perhaps 6 o'clock, but we will email you as soon as we know.
The motion is to recess to the call of the chair. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Without objection, we'll revert to the fifth order of business, reports of committees. Senator Clark, they're printed on an addendum. Senator Clark, you need to move adoption of the committee reports as printed on the addendum.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports printed on the addendum be adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Okay. The bills that are printed on the addendum are given their second reading. Second reading. Okay, that completes what we needed to do right now. Senator Pogemiller. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I would then move a recess to the call of the chair. Fairly brief. The majority will meet in the retiring room. We're going to caucus the two bills. And so we'll be in the retiring room. Senator Senjum.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, Republican caucus has caucused the bills. So we don't need to meet anywhere. I guess we can go out and have dinner, or how long?
So, Mr. President, Senator Senjum, I don't know if you've had time to chat with your caucus about the economic development bill. We would, if we don't do that tonight, it's a Senate file, we would probably come in first thing in the morning before the
Finance Committee,
because it'd be good to get that out of here because the House is going to meet in the morning tomorrow.
So, President, Senator Pogemiller, we've talked about it. I think the preference is to wait till tomorrow if we can. Come in early if that's what we need to do.
Okay. So, no, I don't think we need more than probably 15 or 20 minutes for the caucus. So I recess to the call of the chair. Hopefully that's within the next 15 or 20 minutes.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The Senate is recessed to the call of the chair.
Explain it before that.
Senator Murphy, would you explain the differences to the Senate members?
Mr. Chairman and members, the biggest difference in the bill between when it left the Senate and the bill that's in front of us members now is that the governor's office has indicated that willingness to accept this bill and sign it into law. That's the biggest change. Members, and I think that the reason why that was is that we had a provision in here where we use in our bill as it left the Senate, where we pay some of the transit operations in the metropolitan area by increasing a property tax. That's no longer in the bill. We took that out and through negotiations over the weekend with the governor's office, and we came up with another way to rectify our bill. Members, this bill still has the Senate's target of 7% reduction overall. What we do is we provide money through acceleration of the invest funds. And members, this is very important for everyone to pay attention here because...
This is one of the major, obviously one of the major bills of the year, and we should listen to not only this one, but the conference committee reports that are coming up. So let's pay attention. Senator Murphy.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chair, and or Mr. President. And members, what I'm going to explain here may seem a little out of the ordinary, but I think we are in extraordinary times. And sometimes things have to be done that you normally wouldn't do. Now, we were facing an immediate cash shortfall in Greater Minnesota Transit of over $2.5 million. To rectify the complete problem, we would have needed about $7.5 million, but we decided to take care of the cash shortfall, and hopefully next session we can address a bigger fix for that issue. But Metropolitan Transit was facing a $73 million shortfall. We accelerate the portion of the invest money that is used for transit so that we accelerate that payment. We captured about $19 million extra dollars. The Met Council gets a portion. Greater Minnesota gets a portion. And under this, the Met Council gave us their assurance that there would be no near-term fare increases and there wouldn't be a reduction in bus service. I think that that was key on their part, and the same thing could be said for Greater Minnesota Transit as well. Now, folks, you have to understand that this does take money that normally would have went to roads away from that. It's about roughly about half the number that I mentioned before. But the reason why all the construction people that were in the room said this is okay is because they got $510 million of federal money. Now, the locals were okay with this as well, because a large chunk of that is going to our local partners to help with city streets, county roads, and our township roads. So it was a compromise that was made primarily coming. It was a fig leaf that was offered by the governor's office. We accepted it. The road construction people embraced it. The transit people have embraced this. I think that our conference committee did wonderful work, and I would just like to thank the House members and the Senate members that were there, and especially to our staff, the people in the back. You know, if it wasn't for these people working all weekend long, and they did, this bill wouldn't be on our desk today. Now, members, is this the best piece of work that we've ever produced in transportation? Absolutely not. But under these circumstances, this is as good as it's going to get. And members, once again, this bill, I think that there was one conferee that did not sign, and we'll let Senator Rest explain the reason why she didn't sign. But I believe everybody else did. I think that this is supported by the governor, and I would hope to garner your vote. Thank you.
Any further discussion on House File 1309? Further discussion? Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I'd like to move a call to the Senate. This is a major bill, so I'd like to move a call to the Senate.
Senate's under call.
Mr. President, I'd move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with. Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think it's striking what we were just told, that transit people think, the advocates, they think it's okay to take the MVEST funds that were dedicated for roads for this. Some of the legislators think this is good. The construction folks think this is good. The city folks think this is good. But what about the people that are paying for this? What about the taxpayers? Why are they always the last to be considered? They're the ones that pay these taxes and given the assurance that these dollars would go to roads. And now we've raided the road fund once again. Everybody else may have compromised, but I have to speak for some folks that want to build roads in the state of Minnesota with the MVEST dollars that they pay for. And one of the other striking things about this is that the MVEST funds that the state collects is declining because we're not selling as many cars, because we're building more transit, we're creating more incentives for transit. And guess what? We're selling less cars. And when you sell less cars, there are less revenues for MVEST. And we're going to continue to raid those MVEST funds and pay for more transit. We're creating these cycles, members. Seems to me that somebody should think about the taxpayers and the transparency in the promises that we've made them, that the taxes that they pay for would pay for roads.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, I want to join Senator Ortman on this. A couple of years ago, we had a lot of discussion about the MVEST amendment and 60-40, and especially for the rural people concerned about roads. And it was sort of like, okay, you know, give us this language and we will sort of guarantee forevermore that, in fact, it will be 60-40. Well, here we are 2 years later, and it's not 60-40 anymore. Rural Minnesota is...
Point of order.
Is losing out.
Point yes. of order.
Senator Murphy, state your point of order.
Mr. President, point of order is it's still 60-40, Senator Senjum. That portion of it is not being touched. All we're doing is accelerating the portion that goes to transit.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Senator Murphy. That is not the way it's been reported to us, and as far as I read, that's not the what our sheet says here. But I'll stand corrected if that's true. My urging here is that we don't leave that. Do we live up to that commitment of a couple of years ago, that being 60-40? So, Senator Murphy, thank you. If that's the case, we'll look at it a little harder here, but it was my impression that we had gone beyond that 60-40 ratio. Thanks.
Further discussion, Senator Day. Senator Day.
Mr. President and colleagues, first off, I think it's a good bill, and I'm going to vote for it, but I just want to bring out a couple things, because I think all of us better start looking at a few of the numbers that are here. I mean, please realize that we subsidize transit $217 million. $110 of that is motor vehicle sales tax, $26 federal government, $81 from the general fund. The reason I'm bringing this out is because we're $73 million in the hole, and you all know we're going to use $18 million from the stimulus package. We're going to use some more MVET funds and so on to make the package go. The problem is, what happens in a couple years from now? I as I keep telling people, we have all the trainiacs that want an $800 million light rail. We put that in. We don't take tickets on it, but everybody says the ridership and everything is just a booming and things are just great. And they're so great that we can't raise the rates at all, and we're going broke. So now what happens is along comes the trainiacs again, and they say, well, now what we got to do is spend $900 million, and we're going to run one from Minneapolis to St. Paul. Somewhere along the line, somebody is going to have to settle down a little bit and say, you know what? We're going to have to pay for what we already have. Otherwise, what's going to happen one of these days is the people that are in the metropolitan area that have buses near them are not going to have buses near them. So I just, you know, when you point these things out, And also, keep in mind, 94% of the people in the state of Minnesota are still moving around in their vehicles, and they're paying for the gas, and they're paying for the transit. And that's fine, because you well know if we can get more people riding transit, we get them off the highways, we don't have to build as many highways. But in my time up here, it doesn't seem to work that way. And I'm just throwing that out because it's something that I've been harping on for quite a while, and people keep telling everybody how great everything is and how the ridership is, and we're just going gangbusters. And then, oh, by the way, we're $73 million in the hole, and now what we're going to do is we're going to take from livable communities and we're going to take from... Well, everything. You got the summaries. You can look at what we're doing. But now we're just taking from everybody to pay the operating costs. And at the same time, we're talking about let's do another new system. So I hope as we go along in the years to come, I plan on voting for the bill. And I think Senator Murphy did a good job as best he could putting all this together with a lot of pressure. But it seems for some reason, and I of course, you know, you can always get back to people that like the sizzle and never really ever plan to eat the steak. So I hope, I'm not telling you to vote no, but I just hope we keep an eye on this because it's getting out of control.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Murphy, I think it would help to have a little clarification on the constitutional amendment, the 60-40 split, and a further better explanation on that, if you wouldn't mind.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Rosen, page 17 of the bill, if you look in section 19, it describes what that process is. And you can see the stricken language was the language that shows the phase in of the MBEST fund that was voted on by the voters. And in that agreement, it was supposed to be up to 40 for transit and 60 for roads and bridges. And as we work towards the end of the final phase in, you can see that's on the following page. And as you see in paragraph F, those numbers don't change, and it says 60% of the money must be received and deposited in Highway User Trust Fund, 36% is deposited in the metro area account, and 4% for Greater Minnesota. And that's where it all ends up. At the end of the day, after the phase-in is complete. What we're doing is where the additional language is on the bottom of page 17 and then starting again on the page 18 on the top of the page. But what we're doing is just changing those percentage amounts a little bit so that we can take a little bit of money and put it into Greater Minnesota Transit and into Metropolitan Transit. Once again, there was a bevy of money that went out to Greater Minnesota, both for, I should say that went, that is starting to get out all across the state for road construction, and that effort is going to snowball, and will get bigger as the summer goes forward. A couple things that we did in the bill, Senator Rosen, so that we could justify making this small allowance, especially for Greater Minnesota Transit. We do a couple things in here. One, we increased the bonding authority for MnDOT to include $40 million more of bonding authority, and we also gave them the option to use a portion of that money to help some of our local road partners out so that they can meet any share that they might have and continue to move the local projects ahead. So, I can understand why some people would be, upset with the mechanism by which we used to get the transit issue fixed. But this is what the people on the Transportation Committee have come to understand, especially in greater Minnesota, where they do have some very viable and functional transit systems. These are the systems that people use to get back and forth. A doctor, a lot of veterans use them. We also give veterans free passes in this bill, disabled veterans. So these systems are something that a growing portion of the population are going to be using, especially in greater Minnesota, as we continue to age and decide not to drive any longer. I think this was a good compromise, Senator Rosen. You know me, I'm a road guy, and I like building roads, and it puts a lot of friends to work. But on the other hand, too, I know from just looking around Red Wing, the people that ride on the Red Wing ride, that their mobility would be severely hampered if we didn't make some of these changes. And in greater Minnesota, mobility is, it's 5 miles to the doctor's office in greater Minnesota. And the metropolitan area, you could throw a golf ball in any direction and hit a doctor's office. So, that's the reason why we made those allowances.
Further discussion on House File 1309, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Murphy, you made a compelling, I think, statement earlier on here about extraordinary times and best piece of work. No, it's not. Certainly I have to agree with that. And it had to be hard to work through this. I don't sit on the Transportation Committee, but it appears to me to be very, very interesting at times, no doubt. But when you talk about getting stimulus dollars, everybody knows that stimulus dollars are due to just exactly that. Can you tell me, was there any discussion in your committee meetings at all with regards to how many jobs these federal dollars were going to bring to the state of Minnesota? Was there any talk of that at all?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, there's a federal formula where you can plug in the dollars on one end and it goes through a gyration and it spits out how many jobs could be created at the other end, but I don't think anybody put a specific number on it.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Murphy, for that answer. The reason I ask that is I so clearly remember 2 years ago, I guess maybe it's last year, I don't remember when we raised the gas tax, and I know you stood up on the floor here several times and said that gas tax was going to create 30,000 new jobs in the state of Minnesota. Do you happen to know how many jobs have been created since we raised that gas tax, or can you give me an idea about that? I've often wondered what actually did come of that $30,000 figure. That never was real clear to me, and maybe the economic times, of course, stifled that a certain amount, but I guess I would be interested to hear from you as to how many jobs you thought that created.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I don't have that number.
Further discussion on House File 1309. Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. Members, there is something for everybody here, and there's something that everybody could complain about, I would suggest. So even the governor doesn't like one provision, and yet his people tell us he will sign the bill. And I'll just let you know, the provision the governor doesn't like is us asking for $15 million that was taken out of the airport fund to get paid back. But only, members, once the budget is flush and it comes about fourth down in line, it's in the bill. So we do have that money going to other places before it goes back to the aviation fund. But some of the things that we did take out, obviously primary seatbelt, but one of the things I was concerned about, and I made the case on the floor before, was there was a $9 million in new levy authority for that Met Council to take that part and put it back into the budget. But new levy authority above and beyond in a time when people can't afford that. So this way, members, yes, it does get taken from funds and things that we transfer back and forth. It's not optimal, but it temporarily gets us out of some of the issues we face and puts us back on track. We do have to be thinking about the future. Senator Day brings up a very good point. If we do not fix the structure of the way things are funded today, in the future, members, we will be back here every biennium fixing this problem.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. On the bill, I do want to thank Senator Murphy and the conferees, certainly on one accord, and that is, for me, somewhat of a local project, and it's what we call in Rochester the 65th Street Project. That had to do with putting ramps on an already built overpass, and Senator Murphy was nice enough to amend his bill to allow that to be discussed. But what I would say, Mr. President and members, proud of the Senate conferees on that, but a little disappointed over in the House. I had on Friday night two individuals sitting in back of me that had $188 million ready to spend on development in North Rochester. All we had to do was to put this in the bill. And the House conferees rejected it. That's certainly their right. But that much money, and who knows, maybe 1,000 jobs, we just turned away from in doing that. So the bill, for me at least, is personally disappointing. We did have a good chat with the MnDOT folks about it, and I appreciate Senator Murphy's support on it during that discussion. And hopefully we won't need to talk about this one next year, Senator Murphy.
Further discussion on House File 1309. Seeing none, Senator Murphy renews his motion that the foregoing recommendations of the Conference Committee on House File 1309 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Secretary, give the bill its third reading.
House File 1309, a bill for enacting the transportation, appropriating money for transportation, etc.
Secretary will take the roll on the final passage. There's a waiting for a conference committee to come up, and I think here they are. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes. 4 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, members, the plan has changed slightly for tonight. We are going to recess to the call of the chair now. Senator Cohen is going to have about a 10 or 15 minute meeting with his, is it just the majority Democrats? In 237 on the Finance Committee. And the Senate DFL caucus will meet in the retiring room in 15 minutes. Well, tell you what, we're going to meet in the Senate retiring room immediately, the DFL caucus, other than Senator Cohen's group. And Senator Tomasoni will go through his bill, because I think there's some interest in taking up Senator Tomasoni's bill tonight. And then we will come back take up the Tomasoni bill probably, unless the environment bill is here, and then take up the environment bill when it gets here from the House. So I would say quarter to, we'll come back in session roughly at a quarter to eight, right? Quarter to eight.
Senator Senja.
Mr. President, the Senate Republicans, and I'm not sure if, was that 12? 107, okay, I can't count fingers. 107 for just a little while, talk about economic development. Shouldn't take long.
So I renew my motion to the call of the chair, hopefully about a quarter to eight.
To recess to the call of the chair. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands in recess.
Duration of the evening.
We're under call for the duration.
I move that further proceedings under roll call be dispensed with. Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
Senator Pogamiller has moved that proceedings under the roll call be suspended and that the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absentee members. All in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed. The motion prevails. Does he have to move it? Okay. But pursuant to Rule 12, Senator Higgins moves that the following members be excused for a conference committee on Senate file number 802 at 6:55 p.m. Senators Higgins, Foley, Moi, Latz, and Mary Olson.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, under motions.
Senator Pogamiller, we need to vote. All those in favor of the excuse members for Senate File 802 Conference Committee indicate by saying aye. Opposed. The motion prevails. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, on motions, I move that the Joint Rule 2.06 be suspended as it relates to the Conference Committee report on Senate File number 2081, which is the Economic Development Conference Committee report.
On that motion, discussion. Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed. The motion prevails.
Mr. President, I yield to Senator Tomasoni.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and the Conference Committee report on Senate File 2081 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amendment by Conference Committee.
Senator Tomasoni has moved that the foregoing recommendations and Conference Committee report on Senate File number 2081 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. Members, Senate File 2081 is the Economic Development and Housing Budget Division Conference Committee report. The bill is all about compromise, members. The House compromised with us, we compromised with them, and both of us compromised with the governor, and the governor compromised with both of us. I think it's a very, very good bill. I have to take the time to thank my conferees, Senator Metzen, Senator Sparks, Senator Koch, and Senator Kielash, and the House conferees, Representative Rukavina, Representative Gunther, Representative Mahoney, Representative Clark, and Representative Murphy. And I want to give a special thanks to both the staffs on both sides, Senate staff especially helped our side, Dave Jensen, Darlene Slowa, Carlin Doyle Fontaine, Capital Rourke, Laura Bach, and Nicole Holston. Members, the appropriations in this bill total $350 million from all sources of funding, with the majority of the funds, $267 million, coming from the state's general fund. The conference committee cut about $21 million of general fund dollars from the base budget for the agencies, and that turns out to be about a 7.5% reduction. The conference committee, however, was able to add some $12.8 million to the Workforce Development Fund to assist with training for unemployed and dislocated workers. In addition, there were some $20 million of federal stimulus money in the fund for dislocated workers. The budget partially restores the governor's cuts made to the Historical Society, the Arts Board, the Humanities Commission, the Housing Finance Agency. And in addition, there were small increases for small business incentives, job retention, job creation, job production, and public broadcasting. And there's about $3 million more of a fiscal impact on the general fund in this bill. The spreadsheet shows the various agencies and the projects that were funded by the conference committee, and if it isn't on your desk, it should be online. There were two articles that made some adjustments to unemployment programs for the state, basically to comply with the new federal stimulus funding and to assist unemployed people with eligibility qualification and some training efforts. The Barbers Board and the Cosmetology Board were separated into two boards. And the housing finance housekeeping changes are in this article, Article 8, and clarifies revenue for the Manufacturing House Trust Fund. Members, we had a short meeting this morning to finally approve the language and the funding. We had some discussions with the governor's office. There were a couple of concerns. We were told they didn't believe any of them rose to the level of a veto, and so we passed the conference committee report. I believe that this is a very good bill, and I think we should pass this on to the Senate and everybody vote for it. I appreciate your support.
Discussion. Senator Colk.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Tomasoni, I'd like to thank you for the bill. And indeed, you did a lot of work. Your staff did a lot of work. And there were some good compromises made in committee, and thank you for that. But members, I did not sign the conference committee report, and there are some areas of concern for myself as well as concerns that were included in a letter from the governor. The first biggest concern that I would point out would be that there is in this bill still the loan forgiveness of $32.75 million for the Xcel Energy Center. It is not in this biennium, so it is not on any spreadsheets, but it is included in the out years and is a continuing concern for myself as well as the governor's office. The second point that I'd like to make, members, is there's a business tax increase in here that I want to highlight, and it was not in the bill as it left the Senate floor. There's a fund, it's called the Workforce Development Fund, and it's funded through UI. It's paid with your unemployment taxes. Businesses pay it. And the money goes to dislocated workers. The fund is used to retrain folks that are unemployed. And the fund has often run in excess, but of course this year with the extra need out there and the higher unemployment, the fund has run into some problems. And so in the bill now we're increasing, and that alone might be just a factor of the economy, but the real problem that I have, members, is that the fund would be very solvent and have a great surplus, and we would not have to do this tax increase were it not that we had been transferring from this fund to the general fund on several occasions. We've transferred from this fund, and so now it's in trouble. Had we just left it alone, the fund would be very solvent and serving our dislocated workers. And then I would point out that even with this increase and the talk that we had in committees about the need to leave this fund alone, there is a transfer in this bill of $5 million to the general fund from the Workforce Development Fund. So it's almost like we haven't yet learned our lesson to let that fund be. I think other than that, members, things look very good. I would just point out we had some discussion on the windmill factory. Some funding is in here for that from the 21st Century Mineral Fund. And there is $3 million. And Senator Tomasoni, would you yield? Thank you.
Senator Tomasoni will yield.
Thank you. Senator Tomasoni, there's $3 million in the bill for an aircraft manufacturer. What I'm wondering is, my understanding is that comes from the Minnesota Investment Fund, Senator Tomasoni. And I'm wondering what will be the balance of that fund subtracting the $3 million.
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, Senator Cook, it all depends on how you calculate it. It could be anywhere from $4 million to $12 million, and it all depends on the repayments of the other funds. But we did put in the bill up to $3 million, which means that they can negotiate what is actually needed. What Senator Koch is talking about is a very interesting project at the airport that actually furnishes the insides of brand new airplanes and could employ up to 500 skilled employees within about 4 or 5 years. The jobs are currently being done, I believe, in Indianapolis, and by guaranteeing some kind of a state support through the Minnesota Investment Fund, we believe we'll be able to do the remodeling necessary at the airport to actually bring these brand new planes to Minneapolis and start a production line of refurnishing the inside of these planes. So it's a very, very interesting project, and we'll know probably within the next 30 days or not whether or not we get it.
Is there a further discussion on Senator Tomasoni's motion? Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Tomasoni, I'm wondering, we had some discussion, I recall, a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago maybe, about this project that was going to be given $30 million, $10 million from the Minerals Fund for manufacturer. Do we know who that manufacturer is at this point? I know we had some discussion about it, and there was no willingness to reveal the name of that manufacturer. Is that something that was revealed in the committee?
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, Senator Hand, no, there was no names revealed. If you're speaking about the 21st Century Mineral Fund, is that what you're speaking about? That money was actually made available in this bill because it's actually the purview of this committee, and so the $10 million was made available for that particular windmill project should it come to fruition.
Senator Hamm.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. And that's what I was wondering about. We had some discussion, I think it was maybe with Senator Bach on his bill about this project, and we had some concern about spending $30 million, $10 million from this fund and some other places as well, but the concern was, what are we investing in, and who is the organization, or who is the manufacturer, and there was unwillingness to talk about that, and that's why I was just wondering whether that came up in the course of the committee, the conference committee, to make a decision about that particular project, or is this, I guess what you're saying is that didn't come up at all.
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, Senator Hand, as I just pointed out, we didn't specifically speak about the project or who it might be. We just made sure that the money was under the purview of the correct committee, and the 21st Century Minerals Fund is the purview of the Economic Development Committee, and therefore we made it available for a windmill project through this particular committee. The rest of the money you're talking about is still in the tax committee.
Mr. President.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Tomasoni. I guess one other question. Senator Koch has just been talking about the Workforce Development Fund and the increase on the tax to replenish the funds that had been taken from it, and then she pointed out that we're going to take an additional money from it anyway. What has been the history of that fund, and why has the money been taken from it in past years? And just can you give us a little bit of background on what has happened? She's described some decisions that were made earlier that we've taken money from this fund to bring to the general fund, and if that's the case, why would we not just take money from the general fund and replenish this rather than going and raising the tax on the businesses?
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, Senator Hand, this particular fund has been used several different times by the governor to help balance the budget. In fact, over the years, about $60-some million dollars has been used by this fund for general fund purposes. We've replenished upwards of about $48 or $49 million. The fund itself is being deluged as of this point in time because of all the unemployment in the state and the need to help with dislocated workers. The Workforce Development Fund itself, in the bill that was voted on in the Senate as it went out, had a transfer of about $10 million to jumpstart other types of jobs that we hoped would actually have the effect of creating new jobs without people having to go to the workforce development. There was an objection from the governor's office, as well as a provision in the House bill that raised the fee to 0.14. What we did in the compromise was we replenished $5 million of the $10 million back into the Workforce Development Fund, compromised at 0.12 with the governor for the next 2 years, understanding that the workforce development fee will then go down to 0.1 at the end of the 2 years. In addition, what that did was it raised about $15 million for the Workforce Development Fund, and in the out years, another $3 million because of the delay in the collections. And so that, in addition to the $20 million that came in from the federal stimulus funds, makes the fund somewhat stable, way more stable, in fact, than it was at the start of this particular legislative session.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Tomasoni. I guess one last question. I know when we had the bill originally here in the Senate, we had a large discussion, lengthy discussion about the money for the Excel loan to repay that loan. And we also had some discussion at the time the bill originally called for some additional monies to be set aside for the Pond Arena. And we took that money out of the bill as it left the Senate. My understanding is it's back in the bill now that we have not only the repayment of the loan, but also the money that is going to be set aside for the hockey arena in St. Paul. Is that correct? Is that what happened in the conference committee?
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, did you ask if the money is back in for the pond? The House, there was a House provision that kept the money in for the pond, and that does start up in within 4 years. There's no immediate impact on it. Basically speaking, both bills had the same provision in them, and we compromised to the House language. Once again, we asked the question committee whether or not this rose to the level of a veto, and we were told they weren't sure if this rose to the level of a veto. And so it seemed appropriate for us to pass the bill out of the committee.
Is there further discussion? Senator Day.
Mr. President, there's nothing appropriate about it. This is, I mean, man alive here, guys. This, like, I hope you're all kind of listening here. This is $50 million. We're going to... How many of you got loans from the state of Minnesota and can write off $40 million? We're all looking for money. This is $50 million. We're sitting around here. Everybody is scrounging around looking for money. People losing their jobs. We just throw $50 million in a bill and nobody even cares. It's amazing to me. I voted for the St. Paul hockey thing. I thought it was great, as I told everybody here. I think St. Paul's a great city. But let them pay their bill. Let them pay their bill. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be so disappointed in the governor of the state of Minnesota. If he lets this $50 million slide by, I will tell you what, I'll be rapping on his door. It won't be just these other people. Because this is $50 million. We all sit here and just like it's nothing. Oh, well, you can put it in the tax bill. We'll put it in this bill. It's funny it wasn't in the transportation bill. We just keep sliding this stuff around, and everybody just sits here, and they tell me I'm interested in kids. I'm interested in education, early childhood development. I'm interested in health care. I don't get it. I don't get it. Somebody here has to... I don't know how... You people stand up on the Senate floor and talk about such trivial little things and make a big deal out of it, and people can come and put $50 million in a bill and nobody even blinks an eye. We already had this thing. Let St. Paul pay for their stadium. A pond? We need a pond, all right. We got enough stuff in this bill. That's right on borderline whether it's needed or not. In a year that people are losing their jobs, people don't have food on the table, we just go along. There's a lot of things probably in this bill that should have been cut. Those were two things. So I'll tell you, I'm going to be totally disappointed. If the governor lets this one slide by, then he likes hockey a lot better than most Minnesotans because we love it. We love it, and we're in against the bill names the sport hockey or whatever. But I'll tell you what, this is wrong. This is wrong. And I don't see why anybody else doesn't step up, and next year we'll all ask for payoffs on everything else that we have out there. Vote no.
Mr. President.
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, Senator Day, it's not $50 million. The original loan was $65 million, and by the end of the 4 years that this repayment will go out into. St. Paul will have paid back in the area of $34 to $35 million. The loan forgiveness that we're talking about will then be used for economic development to develop a new hockey rink in downtown St. Paul. And that alone is construction as well as jobs and economic development. So it's all in how you look at it, and it's I think it's a pretty good project, and we got a pretty good payback already in a very short time.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. But it still is public funding for a professional sports arena. And members, when we had the Twins debate, a number of us believed that that was not appropriate. We've talked about the Viking Stadium. A number of us believe that is not appropriate. And I really don't believe, when we're talking about all the cuts, as Senator Day said, all the cuts that we're going to have to make to education and health care and other programs that are a state priority, that we should even be talking about spending state dollars on a public arena for professional sports. And so, members, it's still in this bill. We tried to get rid of it last time when we debated it, but it came back again in conference committee. And so I think that it's time to vote no again.
Senator Day.
Mr. President, the reason I got it up to $50 million, I figured $34 million, and then we had to have some interest, still some interest on it. And then, of course, the $10 million for wind power, whatever, up north. And I told you we have Vestas, we have Suslon, we got about four of these companies in southern Minnesota. And I don't, if the people on the Iron Range, so the blades are all falling off. Come on down south, grab onto some of ours that we're manufacturing down there. But I will tell you, people in St. Cloud need some civic stuff. That's all on the table. Mankato, they got some things on the board that will put people to work. We're talking about putting people to work in jobs. This is no jobs. This is just, here's some bucks for you, and we're going to do a pond or whatever we're going to do down the line. And I there's so many projects that are out there that actually could put some people to work with $50 million. And I don't understand. I guess I don't understand the other side at all. I know that this is pretty, I don't know why I should, I guess. But how do you all sit here and talk about health care and little kids and people losing jobs and tears in your eyes, and you give away $50 million? And you don't even care. Senator Berglund, when you come with your health bill, I'm going to be standing here talking about this all over again. And we're going to talk about it at each time we go through here. So I can't believe we're letting this just slide along and come out of this conference committee and nobody says anything about it. And I just hope we vote no. And I will tell you, if anybody from the governor's office is listening and they don't veto this bill, I will tell you what, they're going to have one pedo Jose from Otana on them.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you. Would Senator Tomasoni yield?
He will yield.
Senator Tomasoni, I noticed in here that we have an increase in funding from the base for public broadcasting. And even though it's not a huge amount, I'm wondering why this is occurring, especially when we know that public broadcasting is seeking a large portion of the legacy amendment funding. And we're going up from our base funding in this bill, in this year, when everything else is getting cut.
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, Senator Roebling, this is a bill that was brought into the committee that was requesting funding to finish a build-out of the public radio. There's several gaps in the state area of broadcasting, and this will fund the entire state so that we can get from the Twin Cities to Hinckley to International Falls and to Ely.
Sir, further discussion. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I just wanted to find out, Senator Tomasoni, if you would. This is the the Jobs and Economic Development bill. And when we had the discussion on the hockey thing in the bills that left the Senate, and there were two provisions, and we took the one out for the new arena, the pond. And so we must have agreed, and that was done obviously with the support of the majority. And so we decided that was not a good project. And now it's back in the bill, and I'm kind of wondering what was the thing that led us to take it back in the bill. Did we get something in trade for that coming back in the bill? I'm not sure if I understand how that is economic development to take money from the taxpayers and put it into an arena that's going to be built sometime in the future, I guess. Why is that economic development, and especially since we all agreed beforehand that it wasn't? What was the thing that led us in the conference committee to take that back in the bill after we had decided that wasn't good economic development?
Senator Tomassoni.
Mr. President, Senator Hahn, the fact is that it will be building a new arena, and that is economic development. It was a provision that was in the House bill, and it was a provision that we didn't have, and one of the compromises was to accept the House language. Anytime you build a new rink, that's economic development. Anytime you bring more people into the downtown area because of the presence of a new rink, more usage of the rink, more people spending money downtown, you have economic development. Fact of the matter is that this new project will actually enhance what's going on downtown St. Paul. There is no expenditures from the state for 4 years, and St. Paul will be making payments for the next 4 years also on this. And so what you are seeing is the state of Minnesota getting more than half of the money paid back, and then in exchange they'll get a bigger rink and another economic development and expansion of hockey in downtown St. Paul.
Is there further discussion? Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I just want to comment on the bill from the standpoint of jobs, and we all know how important they are to our state right now, but as I look at this bill fairly quickly, it's about $262 million bill, and then I start adding up, what are we spending on business and community development, and it amounts to about $16 million. I look to workforce, and it's about $12 million. So, you know, add them up, $28 million, and we're also spending $35 on a hockey rink. And it just seems like at a time like this, when jobs are just so critically important to our state, that literally spending a pittance, maybe about 10% of this bill really on jobs and workforce and other things that are really important, that's a terribly small smitten of cost that we're putting towards something that is really important. This is jobs and economic development. The portion of this bill that is really dedicated to that is very, very minor. In fact, it doesn't, as I said, even meet the cost of the hockey rink. Mr. President and members, at a time like this, I think this bill is perhaps woefully inadequate in terms of meeting the needs of our state at this critical time in its history.
Senator Tomassoni.
Mr. President and members, let me just point out that there were 49 votes going out of here, and this is a better bill than the bill that went out of here. And it has more money for job creation. It has more money for housing. It has a better workforce development repayment. It has a better fee schedule for workforce development. And if you voted yes the first time, and you vote no this time, then you voted for a worse bill when it went out of here than you'd be voting on this time. This conference committee report is much better than the bill that left here earlier last week.
Senator Koch.
Well, Mr. President, I would just point out that the workforce development fee, the $10 million tax increase, was not on the original bill of going out, and so that alone is a no vote for me. And members, I would encourage no vote.
There being no further discussion, Senator Tomassoni renews his motion that the foregoing recommendations in conference committee on Senate file number 2081 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. The Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2081, a bill for an act relating to economic development and housing, establishing and modifying certain programs, providing for regulation of certain activities and practices, etc.
There being no further discussion, the Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 2081.
Thank you.
All senators voting who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. You know why Michelle was waving it? All senators voting who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 38 nays, 28 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
Mr. President.
Sir Pogamiller.
Mr. President, perhaps to facilitate the evening, the House is debating House File 2123, which is the Environment and Energy Funding Bill. Perhaps we could have Senator Anderson explain the bill and take questions, and then we would be prepared to vote when the House report comes over.
Before we do that, pursuant to Rule 12, Senator Rosen moves that the following members be excused for a conference committee on House File 1362 at 8:30 p.m., Senators Berglund, Laurie, Sharon, Rosen, and Prettner-Sullen. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Anderson, did you wish to start describing the environment budget bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, I won't move the bill yet, as the House is still debating it. I would like to present a summary of information about Senate file or House File 2123, the Omnibus Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Bill. The conference report, I think, is a reasonable and balanced, but difficult, with a lot of budget cuts, proposal to present to you today. The difference between the House and the Senate bills as passed was about $15 million, and the House came more than halfway towards the Senate number and cut another about $8 million out of their bill, and well over $10 to $15 million of new fees out of their bill. And so I think our compromise is a pretty fair and balanced one. Overall, the agencies, the big agencies in our budget are Pollution Control, DNR, and Bowser, the Board of Water and Soil Resources. And those cuts range from, well, for DNR it was 6.4%, but for PCA it was 8.9%, and for Bowser 10.8%. So very significant agency cuts. The smaller agencies that we have in the bill include the Metro Council, Parks and Trails, and in the area of parks, we did cut them more or less the same amount that we cut across the board on average to the whole budget. We wanted to make sure that they receive proportionate cuts but not additional cuts, because we want to be clear that we're not supplanting with constitutional funds. So they receive proportionate cuts like everybody else. The Minnesota Conservation Corps received, it's a very small agency, received a small cut. The Minnesota Zoo received about a 7% cut. Science Museum, 5% cut. And we also have the Department of Commerce and the Public Utilities Commission, and it's rather difficult to cut those budgets because there's no, everything that they is in their budget is assessed, and so there's no gain to cutting them, only a loss to revenue. So the only general fund that we had open to cut that wasn't based on assessments in the Department of Commerce was the E85 pump grants. We did cut that from by $750,000, and the House did accept that cut. And the purpose of making that cut was in recognition of the fact that the market for putting new E85 pumps is extremely slow, and very few of those grants have gone out in the last year. So the balance should be adequate to meet any need remaining. As I mentioned, the House had very high fees coming into conference committee. I think over $20 million in new fees. We accepted only under $5 million of new fees in the Senate bill, and we only accepted fees that were agreed to by the agency commissioners and the governor's office. So most of those fees go into the Environmental Fund in the Pollution Control Agency, where we do have a growing deficit and a deep hole in our budget in terms of cleaning up landfills, Superfund sites, and other permitting requirements of the Environmental Fund, as well as some of the governor's proposed mining and mine land reclamation fees that are the only thing that kept the DNR from receiving much more drastic reductions. The big difference between our budget and the governor's budget in this area is payment in lieu of taxes. The governor reached his higher target by cutting PILT payments by 20%. The Senate and the House recognize that those payments are to primarily, over 90% of them are to counties that have a very, very small tax base, and that cutting those PILT payments would essentially be passing the burden on to property taxpayers. So we decided not to take those PILT cuts. We didn't have them in the House or Senate bill going into conference, and we decided not to take the governor's cuts in that area. We have a few small policy items in the environment and natural resources area. We have Senator Scheid's bill on toxic chemicals. A compromise version of that was adopted by the conference committee that will require the Pollution Control Agency and the Department of Health to begin the process of establishing identification of chemicals that are priority, that are deemed to be already having an impact on human health or on the biological health of our wildlife or fish. We included the greenhouse gas reporting bill that came from Senator Pretner Solon's legislation, and the high greenhouse gas potential reporting bill that I think is really a cleanup from last year's bill. That was a Senator Rest provision. We kept clean water assessments in the agency base budget, which was a way also to avoid supplanting with new legacy dollars, because the agency has always performed those clean water assessments as part of their budgets. And so, to me, that's a core function of state government, to go out and test the waters to make sure, to find out if they're polluted or not. And so it was beneficial to keep that in the base. We also include Senator Olsen's bill on yard waste and requiring biodegradable bags. Senator Stevens' composting grant program, we appropriated $250,000 each year. An increase in SCORE grants to the counties, and Senator Senjum had that bill in the Senate. And Senator Chaudhry's bill related to sales of outdoor rec land, and the provision says that the DNR can only sell those outdoor rec lands if they keep the proceeds in their land management account. They can't use it to balance the state budget and meet general fund obligations. We did take out the provision that prevented the merger of DNR's ecological resources and waters, but we require them to do a detailed report to us about how they will enhance the protection of the natural resources covered by those two divisions before they proceed with their merger. Let's see. Other new items from the House in the environment and natural resources area is requirements for fish consumption advisories to be posted in various language, a carbon sequestration report, and requirements that the governor's staff be funded from the governor's budget. We also had all the energy provisions from our bill, as well as the non-energy sections of commerce, which came from Senator Tomasoni's division. So you'll see about half the pages in the bill are from the commerce section, and a lot of that is bills like the banking bill. Senator Sparks' banking bill language is in this, as well as the debt settlement bill, which was a product of compromise by all the lobbyists and stakeholders. And that was Senator Pappas' bill in the Senate. There's also some commerce language that makes technical modifications to residential mortgage originators, real estate transactions, and insurance companies. And we have some in the energy provisions, besides the E85 pumps that I mentioned. We do have some expenditures from the Renewable Development Fund, one for a geothermal heat mapping project to look at the potential for deep underground geothermal heat reserves to provide really low-cost baseload power to Minnesota. And that will be that study will be done by the Natural Resources Research Institute up in Duluth. We have the IREDI Center at Mankato State University funded in here. That'll be evaluating renewable energy technology from Sweden and expediting technology transfer, as well as funding for clean energy programs, solar certification laboratory, and solar rebates. And the final fund in commerce that we dealt with was the Telephone Access Minnesota. And this comes from a Senator Rest bill that is striving to provide access to Minnesotans with hearing disabilities or vision disabilities in particular. And it's something like 10% of Minnesotans who really don't have access to all of our fascinating debates on the Senate floor and other legislative proceedings. And this allows those to be closed captioned and made otherwise accessible so that all Minnesotans can participate and have public access to government proceedings the way that non-disabled people do. I think that's a pretty good summary of the bill, and I would be happy to take any questions.
Are there any questions or discussion on House File 2123? Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm wondering if Senator Anderson will yield.
She will yield.
Thank you, Senator. The summary that I have says that the bill has new funding for quite a few new programs, and I'm really concerned about that. The list I have says we've got new funding programs for children's toxic chemical information, composting grants, geothermal heat mapping, community energy technical assistance and outreach on renewable energy and energy efficiency, green jobs initiatives, and solar rebates. And I'm wondering if Senator Anderson can just answer the question why, in a year of deficits, with people at home who can't afford to fix their house, maybe can't afford a meal, are struggling with unemployment, why are we starting new programs? And if we're funding new programs, Senator, are we also creating an unsustainable budget for our energy system? How does this impact out years? I think we should be planning ahead, if not for the current crisis, at least for the next few years.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Ortman. All the programs that you mentioned were funded in the Senate bill as it passed the Senate. So the House did accept those proposals, and that passed by a very strong margin in the Senate. So we've seen all of those before in the bill as it passed the Senate. Some of those are not new. The solar rebates and the clean energy resource teams have been funded through previous years. And as you know, those are from Renewable Development Fund dollars, not from general fund dollars. There were a couple of new things funded with general fund dollars, very minimal, because we had to cut $20 million in general funds. So the additional spending in general fund was very, very limited, and it was all one-time funding. So it is sustainable, and our tail budget, you will see, is actually a deeper cut than in 2010-11. We will have a deeper cut in 2012-13.
Further discussion on the bill? Senator Stumpf.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Anderson yield?
She will yield.
There's some new language in here, and I guess I'd just like to be assured that in relationship to the native grasses and the programs that use those vegetative covers, especially the ones that are native to Minnesota. Now, this language, the new language, assures that that seed producers in Minnesota can provide those types of diverse seeds throughout the state and not be limited to the a mileage factor that's in current law.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Stump, that is a very good question. We've had a lot of discussion about this in committee this year. This is House language that was appeared in this bill in about 20 different places. And yes, this is requirements that are flexible and far easier to meet than current law. And the current law requires you have to find seeds from within 25 miles in some cases. This language does not put any kind of requirements like that in place. In fact, this is the exact same language that was passed in the Lessard Council recommendations, which passed unanimously through the Environment Committee. So it's this identical language. And it just says, to the extent possible, if you're doing a restoration, you have to use ecotypes native to Minnesota. Now, native to Minnesota doesn't mean that the seeds have to be from Minnesota. It means that the type has to be found in Minnesota. So it could be from a broader prairie region or a broader region outside of Minnesota, but it gives something that is of an ecotype found in Minnesota and preference to a local ecotype. So it's flexible. It's not rigid like the statute 8402 was. And Bowser got up and testified that this would make it far easier for them to do restorations than current law. They testified that they could work with this language. They were comfortable with this language. And that they believed that it would be less costly to comply with this language than with current law.
Mr. President, and Senator Anderson, I didn't check have time to check the repealers, but does it repeal the other statute? And how does that interact, let's say, in the bonding bill where we have programs that relate to reseeding native prairies?
Mr. President, Senator Stumpf, any repealer language would be in the policy bill. It's not in this funding bill. And it never was in this funding bill. And so nothing in here would affect the bonding bill expenditures.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. I guess I'm a little troubled by just a couple of things in the bill. I'll start with Section 37 and talks about regulation of stormwater discharges. As I've talked to this body many times, Minnesota is way behind in what we do with stormwater, with wastewater, with all kinds of things. But this actually mandates that the agency develop rules. And it's interesting because the rules we're asking them to develop are already 20 to 30 years outdated. And that's how far we are behind, members. It talks about low-impact development and mimicking stormwater in the natural world. And we should have been doing that 20 or 30 years ago because other states have been. And we ought not to be passing language that's that far behind. The next thing, when we look in Section 39, members, I am licensed under the SSTS licensing system. This bill doubles the cost of my business license, doubles the cost of my individual license in a time when there's not a whole lot of work out there. I don't get why we have this insatiable appetite to raise money over and over and over again with everything we do. And I'm just going to remind members, in the SSTS thing, this is subsurface sewage treatment systems. It's interesting because the agency put in new rules last year, and anybody that lives, any of the members here that live in an area that have on-site wastewater systems, septic systems, we put in new rules last year that had the effect of doubling the cost of a homeowner's cost on replacing a system. Double the cost, and members, for nothing. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency took 6 years and millions of dollars to recreate rules that I could have done a better job in 30 minutes on the internet, because the Pollution Control Agency doesn't have a clue what goes on outside the state of Minnesota. These rules are not necessary. Anything designed after 1998, members, on-site systems treated 98% of all harmful contaminants, pathogens. We don't have a problem. We have never had a problem with a properly designed system, and yet we have the Full Employment Act here that keeps allowing people within the Pollution Control Agency to continuously waste taxpayers' money over and over again every year, coming up with new burdensome rules that don't do anything. I repeat, they do nothing for the environment. This is also an agency that I have, as a licensed inspector, turned in many failing systems that are they're putting sewage on top of the ground. They're putting sewage directly into lakes, streams, and rivers. And this is the agency that over and over tells me, oh, Senator, we don't enforce the rules. We just make rules. Members, we ought not to be letting them keep on making rules that don't make any sense. We ought to make them the enforcement agency they are to take care of our environment. I get fed up looking at this stuff over and over again and allowing this kind of thing where I have to pay more fees. I guess it's a fee. I can't call it a tax. It just doubles the cost of my license. We double these fees, we raise more money, we do nothing. It's just to employ people that write rules in the back room. They get locked up in the back room to write rules when every other state, except Wisconsin, I might add, because Wisconsin is the same sad, sorry shape we're in, every other state that understands wastewater and water reuse does better than Minnesota, and here we are paying them again to do a awful job.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President and Senator Jungbauer, I sense just a little contradiction in what you're saying. I'm hearing you say that we're woefully behind, and you're right. I completely agree with you. Our stormwater management systems are decades behind the times. But then you're saying you don't like this proposal to try to modernize them. And so that's the part where I don't quite get what you're saying, because I'm agreeing with you. You know, in the olden days, you just let the water run off wherever it went, and it would always bring dirt and chemicals and pollution and sediment into the water. Then somebody got the great idea about 30 or 40 years ago to put little retention ponds there and collect stuff, and now they're filling up, and they're filling up with toxic chemicals. This stormwater management designing idea, this is from Senator Chaudhry's bill, is trying to get us into the 21st century and to say we need modern approaches to stormwater management that actually reflect whoever knows best, Mother Nature, and tries to reflect the natural hydrologic cycle so that you keep the water on the land and you let it filter through the ground, and so you're not constantly letting it fall off and be washed away in the rivers. Instead, you're going to keep it where it is and try to keep it cleaner that way. So I think this is a really important step forward, because I agree with you, we're way behind and we need to catch up. And that's what the purpose of this is. And I just wanted to clarify that the fees that you mentioned, they were not in the Senate bill, even though they were governor's recommendations. As I mentioned, the House had over $20 million in new fees. When we went into conference, we only accepted less than $5 million, including ones that the governor had recommended or that the agency supported. But we really tried to limit the ones that we accepted.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Senator Anderson, and I do know, and I don't, I'm not blaming anybody in this body for the language here, although the language states explicitly what we're trying to accomplish under Section C. We are telling the agency exactly what kind of standards to create, and those standards that we're exactly telling them to do are standards that are 20 and 30 years outdated. So I have every reason to want to make the agency come into the present generation of stormwater treatment And a lot of these things and the way we're trying to direct them get there a little bit. But we are so prescriptive here, we are actually telling them things that are again, outdated. And if this, Senator Anderson, if this is a governor's recommendation to raise the fees, members, I think most people in here know that the governor and I are at odds on a few things, and it just seems that the governor wants to take money on everything that I happen to do, whether it's flying my airplane and he wants to take my aviation fund money that I pay into to protect the airport, or whether it's I want to run my sewage treatment business and he wants to raise the fees on that. All of these things, I sorry, members, and I'm sorry, Governor, but I disagree with you on these things. I am a fiscal conservative, and I don't believe in taking money from anything that isn't visible and putting it in the black hole of the general fund is a good idea. I don't think in a time of economic trouble that we raise the fees on licenses for anybody when there's very little business to pay for those licenses. I just think that's bad fiscal policy in these times, no matter who comes up with it.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Further discussion. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Anderson yield?
She will yield.
Senator Anderson, as I've gone through the bill, there was one question that I had that, well, maybe more than one, but specific to the Pollution Control Agency fines. And apparently the bill would now suggest that they go into the environmental fund as opposed to the general fund. And that may be all fine, well, and good. The environmental fund may need money. But I have a sense that a person issuing a fine out of the PCA may be far more aggressive to do that if they know the money is going into their own pocket, if you will, as opposed to the general fund. And could you just comment on that? It's one aspect, a philosophical aspect of the bill that does bother me. I believe, frankly, it ought to go into the general fund just to avoid that conflict.
Senator Anderson?
Mr. President, Senator Senjum, I'm not sure I heard your entire question. I apologize. But I think basically the House had a provision that we did accept that takes existing fines that are going into the general fund, and now they will go into the environmental fund at the PCA. And that fund is used for a variety of purposes, such as cleaning up closed landfills, cleaning up polluted Superfund sites, environmental permitting and review, that sort of thing. And there's a real deficit in that fund. So this was helpful. We paid the general fund back a small amount, and the consequence was to help the environmental fund.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think it was before session, several of us from the Rochester delegation, as for instance, met with our court people, and you know, and they needed money, and so where do you get it? And along the lines of that conversation was, well, you know, what if we increase fines and put them into the courts? And those judges were quick to point out that for them that would be a conflict, that we shouldn't go down that road, that we shouldn't, in fact, link, if you will, the fines there to the needs of the court. And but here, certainly, if you're a Pollution Control Agency enforcement agent, we are linking the fines that they might well issue and do issue into something within the agency, the environmental fund. And according to our documents here, it's about $3.6 million. And so, Senator Anderson, my concern is just simply the conflict. Does that present a conflict that wouldn't otherwise be if that money would be going to the general fund? Will the inspectors be that much more aggressive because this money goes into, if you will, their pockets as opposed to the general fund? So thoughts along those lines would be appreciated.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Senjum, we talked a lot about this issue, about whether allowing the agency to collect the fines would change the incentive structure. And what I recall from the conversation is that we've been collecting these fines since 1991, I believe, and there's not been any concern that the agency is, you know, has tried to maximize or minimize them. There's just really nobody has indicated that there's any reason to fear that this will change enforcement. We do the same thing with the Game and Fish Fund, and it hasn't changed the enforcement effort at all.
Is there further discussion on House File 2123? Mr. President. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Anderson, I'm looking through the bill here, and I guess to be honest with you, I'm surprised that we've got this competitive grant for composting in this bill. In fact, as I read it, if I remember correctly, we've even got more money in the bill now than what we had when it left the Senate. And why in the world are we doing this? Here we've got this massive crisis in our economy. We've got people out of work. We're struggling to balance our own budget. We're talking about raising taxes, $2.2 billion. And so now we're going to say, well, we need to have this program to encourage composting, and we're going to charge the taxpayers an additional $500,000 to do that. Why is this in the bill, Senator Anderson? I think that in a time like this, if anything, we should be saying, let's not spend any money we don't need to spend. And it would seem to me that composting is not a very critical issue, high priority, that we would need to say to the public, we're going to raise your taxes, and oh, by the way, one of the things we're going to do is encourage people to do composting. How did this get in the bill? Can you answer why we are thinking this is such a priority? It has to be in this bill.
Senator Anderson.
Well, Mr. President, Senator Hahn, I think you asked me the same question as the bill was passing the Senate, because it was in the bill as it left the Senate. In fact, you're on my division, and it was in the bill as it left my division. It was a bill of Senator Sebens. Our committee voted for it, and that's how it got in the bill, and that's how it got to the conference committee. And we had a long discussion about this on the Senate floor before, and I think the gist of it from my point of view is that composting saves money because it reduces garbage, it reduces solid waste, which is extremely costly to dispose of, and it reduces environmental problems because it means less solid waste going to landfills, which we all know create long-term environmental costs to maintain and clean up, and often they do leak into the water. So this is all about reducing solid waste. It also reduces carbon emissions, by the way.
Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I think, if I recall, we've got more money in there now than when it left the Senate for composting. And so I just think the point ought to be made, and the public ought to be paying attention, that we think here in the Senate that composting, spending more money, starting a new program on composting is such a priority in this time of economic crisis and budgetary constraint that we're going to add another $500,000 to the taxpayers' burden so that we can encourage people to do composting. We just need to make sure people understand that. Pay attention. That's what we're doing. I don't get it.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Senator Dibble or Senator Ortman?
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Anderson and members, Senator Hahn, I hope we will follow the money, because Senator Hahn, you're on to something. It may be that all of these proposals were in the Senate bill when it left. I voted no. I didn't like it before. I don't like it now. But I really don't like the fact that there's new money in here, and I don't care whether it was in the Senate bill or not. It's still new money over last year's bill. So let's be honest. Minnesota taxpayers will pay more with new programs proposed by this Senate. And I just want to talk about the priorities here, because these proposals were not in the House bill. They weren't proposed by the governor. They were all proposed by your senators.
And the senators think we should spend more money on environmental funding. They'd cut the health care access fund before they'd do that. In the transportation bill that we just passed, we raided every fund we could find to fund the Metropolitan Council. We're going to raid every fund we can find in school funding. We'd rather cut the schools 7% and the health care budget 7%, but we're only going to cut environmental funding 5.3%. I thought the goal was 7%. Let's talk about what the priorities are in this chamber and in the Minnesota State Senate. Instead, we've got $300,000 in new money for geothermal heat mapping. The search program gets $1.2 million in new money, all proposed by the Senate. A Green Jobs Initiative, $25,000. Solar rebates, $400,000. Minnesota Green Enterprise Assistance, $100,000. $2.1 million for the Emerging Renewable Energy Industries Grants. You got to turn the page on the spreadsheet to find the rest of them. There's the new money for the counties and the SCORE grants, $500,000. There's composting grants, $500,000. Children's toxic chemicals information, $178,000. The total of all this new spending, it's amazing to me, is almost $6 million. And that $6 million, surprisingly, would take us to a 7% reduction in environmental funding. Instead, we're going to hack that money out of everywhere else, but we're going to subsidize environmental funding. We're going to subsidize composting. I thought that people were composting because it was a good idea. Why do we need incentives? So it just seems like we're throwing money at these projects while we could be conserving the money so that we could pay for more important needs. Clearly, the priorities of the Minnesota State Senate leadership are backwards here. Why should we cut schools and health care, push more costs onto nursing homes, expect more from taxpayers so we can pay for brand new programs courtesy of the Minnesota State Senate?
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, Senator Ortman, you need to read the spreadsheet a little more carefully because every single one of those programs you mentioned, first of all, they were all funded in the House as well. They were bills. They went through the democratic process. But the most important thing is that not one of the things you mentioned is funded with general fund dollars. Not one. And so you couldn't use a penny of that money to help with our schools budget or with our health care budget. And I wish we could. If we could, I would have voted for that instead. But we cannot. And so, Senator Ortman, we cut general fund dollars by $20 million in this budget. And the Pollution Control Agency, where all of these ideas came from, they're all under that budget, has an overall budget cut of 8.9% reduction in general fund. That's a serious cut. And, you know, I mentioned in the conference committee yesterday, I've been in the Senate for 17 years and never once have I voted to cut our parks. And it doesn't feel good to me. You know, the parks are something that Minnesotans really value. These are serious but responsible budget cuts in this bill.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, don't be fooled. Of course we can take these funds. There's a statutory dedication, of course there is. But we change those all the time. We pass the laws. And so we can raid the MVEST fund and change how much goes in from one to the other and the funding that comes out of there. Like I said, we raided other accounts that were set up statutorily, just like this one is. We could pass a statute and we could take these funds and offset the general fund. We could cut the energy budget by 7%. That was the goal. It's just that it wasn't really the goal, members. There was some other goal here. It wasn't to cut budgets. Something else is at stake here.
Is there further discussion on House File 2123? Is there further discussion? Senator Pogemiller, there appears to be no further discussion on Senate House File 2123.
Mr. President, members, the House was on third reading on the bill. I don't know if they've actually voted yet.
They are voting right now.
They're voting right now, so I believe we're about 10 minutes away. It takes usually 10 minutes after the bill is passed by the House. So I would move a recess to the call of the chair, which hopefully will be in the next 10 minutes or so.
On the motion to recess to the call of the chair, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The Senate is in recess to the call of the chair.
Are there messages from the House?
Yes. So we'll come to order. Reverting to messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on House File 2123 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File 2123, a bill for an act relating to state government, environment, natural resources, and energy finance. House File 2123 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Signed, Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, you ready for my motion?
Please.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 2123 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Discussion on the motion. So discussion on the motion. Seeing none, Senator Anderson moves that the foregoing recommendation and the conference committee report on House File 2123 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. On that motion, all those in favor, roll call. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails. The secretary will give House File 2123 its third reading.
House File 2123, a bill for an act relating to state government, environment, natural resources, and energy finance, etc.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll on repassage on House File 2123. All senators voted who desire to vote. The secretary will close the roll. There being 52 ayes and 19 nays, the bill is passed as amended by Commerce. 52 ayes and 15 nays. The bill is repassed as amended by Conference. Reverting to messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of three members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate files. 1091, there has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Dean, Bunn, and Lilly. Senate file 1091 is here with return to the Senate. And also on Senate file 1147, there has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Representatives Hayden, Mullery, and Holberg. Senate file 1147 is here with return to the Senate. Both of these are signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Mr. President, brief recess for purposes of appointing conference committees.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. The Senate is in recess.
Mr. President.
Senate will come to order. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, my mistake. There were no conference committees to appoint at this point. So, Mr. President, is there any other work at the desk?
No further work. Announcements of Senate interest. Without objection, the following members will be excused from portions of today's session. Senator Murphy and Sieben from 11 to 11:30. Senator Johnson from 11 to 11:40 a.m. Senator Ortman from 11 to 11:50 a.m. Senator Limmer from 7:45 to 9:50 p.m. Announcements of Senate interest.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Before the announcements by the conference committees, here's what the plan is for tomorrow. We will come in at noon, and we would like to process Senate File 1504, Senate File 1867, Senate File 1459, Senate File 1125, and Senate File 2. These are the bills that came out of finance or rules that are bills that are in play in the House bills, and so we wanted to get a Senate position on them. That's a Berglund bill, a Bedsold bill, a Bonhoff bill, a Pappas bill, and then a Cohen bill. Senator Senjum would like to have a caucus on that, and that would be fine. So we'll come in at noon, caucus for half hour, 45 minutes, whatever's necessary, half hour, and then come in and process these bills, and then probably be done for the day. So I think for the conference committees, you would have the entire day other than noon to probably 2 or 3 o'clock, depending on how long these bills took. I don't know that any of these bills are overly controversial, but they might take a little while. And we'll do them on general orders. So conference committees plan around that.
Announcements of Senate interest. Senator Bach.
Mr. President, the Tax Conference Committee will meet at 10 p.m., room 15.
Announcements of Senate interest. Announcements of Senate interest. Senator Pogemiller. Senator Pogemiller. Oh. The ones he just did.
Mr. President.
Senator Stump?
Mr. President, the Education Conference Committee is meeting tomorrow at 8 a.m. in the morning in State Office Building.
Other announcements of Senate interest?
Mr. President. Mr. President.
Senator Cullen.
Finance at 8:30, room 123.
Other announcements of Senate interest?
Okay, Mr. President, Senator Berg, the Health and Human Services Conference Committee is meeting now, and so presumably they'll meet in the morning also, but I don't know what time that is. So, Mr. President, then, if there are no other announcements, I move the Senate adjourn till Tuesday, May 5th, noon. Senator Senjum? Yep. Senator Senjum? We will also, if there are some conference committees that come back, like the Stolle Conference Committee and some other ones, we would process those tomorrow, too. I don't anticipate, unless the House does the Economic Development Conference Committee, I mean, we would take that up tomorrow if they do it. So renew my motion, May 5th, 12 noon.
Mr. President.
Senator Cullen.
I'm sorry. I just had a phone call. I made a mistake. Not 123, finance in room 318 tomorrow morning.
On the motion to adjourn until May 5 at 12 noon, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The Senate is adjourned until May 5, 2009, 12 noon.